Latino Media Collective. The Latino Media Collective delivers consequential coverage from the biggest countries in South America to the smallest enclaves of Central America and the Caribbean, and is available on SoundCloud, iTunes Podcast, and Google Play Music. The Latino Media Collective is recorded in WPFW Studios and airs Fridays at 1 p.m. on WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county. From another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers, having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on, get that.
I was in jail too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. We come to you every Tuesday at the same time here on WPFW, 89.3 FM, your station for jazz and justice. And for all the folks who've been listening to the show around the world, especially our brother over in Germany, man, we appreciate the calls, the emails, the texts. We had no idea that the show would stretch out like this, but thank you and thank you for calling in and been making Crossroads a success. We always open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Hey, wrongfully convicted individuals. More than 2,500 people have been exonerated, meaning found innocent, since 1989. Black Americans are more likely to be presumed guilty by the legal system, and as a result, make up 47% of exonerations. And Black people convicted of murder are 50% more likely to be innocent than non-Black people convicted of murder. Ain't that something? Congresswoman Norton introduced a bill to prohibit federal bureau prisons from charging health care co-pays. Congressman Eleanor Holmes Norton introduced a bill to prohibit the federal bureau prisons from charging individuals in his custody co-pays for health care visits. Individuals serving sentences for D.C. code felonies are in BOP custody. BOP residents should be encouraged to seek medical care before their health conditions worsen, Norton said. Preventive care is more effective than later stage intervention and is much less expensive for the federal government, saving taxpayers money in the long run. The objective is successful reentry into the community, and inmates cannot return to society successfully without their health and well-being. Charging co-pays is not fair to this goal. Currently, BOP inmates are required to pay a fee of $2 every time you go to see the doctor. Inmates earn only 12 cents to 40 cents per hour for a work assignment. Ain't that something? Also, is someone skimming money or otherwise charging you and your loved ones high fees to deposit money into your account? Prison Legal News is collecting information about the ways that family members of incarcerated people get cheated by the high cost of sending money to fund inmate accounts. Please write to Prison Legal News and have your people on the outside contact them as well to let us know specific details about the way that the system is ripping them off, including fees to deposit money on prisoners' account or delays in receiving no-fee money orders. Costly fees to use prepaid debit cards upon release from custody. Fees charged to submit payments for parole supervision. I went over to the prison, PG County Jail, and when they want to leave some money on somebody's account, we had to pay $50, $10 for 50. When you go up to 100, 200, 300, there's another $5, $15, or $20 that you pay just to leave some money. So you got to pay a fee to get a money order. Then you pay a deposit fee for giving the money or sending the money. So this is another way that inmates are being ripped off. Secondly, I got a 20-piece tape we want to play about a young lady. Go ahead, Mike. You can put it on.
They did a grand thing when they took that discipline away from us, because when they made our parents afraid to discipline the children, then what happened? We found out that the teachers were afraid of the principals were scared of the superintendents, superintendent was scared of the school board was scared of the parents, parents were scared of the children, and the children ain't scared of nobody.
We found that that was a powerful piece, and we're going to tie this into our show. Our topic this morning are We Are Brothers Keepers. And we got an email from Brother Sam Ford, Mo. He sent me an email about your speaking at Ebenezer Baptist Church. And, man, you lit him up. And I like what was said. And, man, you're just continuing to do what you're doing. So our guest this morning is none other than a gentleman that everybody's familiar with. His name is Ronald Moulton. And Moulton is a good friend of ours, and he is, again, a returning citizen, and he's one of the few people that we know in this city who is all over. He is not biased or prejudiced, because we had him on a few years ago with the people from Check It, a gay group, that Mo reaches out to every aspect of the community. And what you said at Ebenezer Baptist Church, we decided to bring Mo in because he is on top of what's going on in the city about the violence, the Go-Go-Go Museum, helping folks, doing things, entrepreneurship over in the Southeast. And I just want to say good morning to Brother Ronald Moulton.
How you doing, brother?
And I'm doing okay, Mo. Boy, look at you. You gained some weight, didn't you?
Yeah.
Look at this big old guy. Thank you for agreeing to come on with us, Mo. Mo has traveled around the country promoting peace and devising strategies to positively engage young people. Mr. Moulton is a skilled trainer in conflict resolution and has negotiated many truces between male and female gangs and crews. He helped broker over 40 truces in Washington, D.C. As co-founder and CEO of Peaceaholics, Mr. Moulton has helped send over 160 at-risk youth to college. Many have returned to become active in their communities as active ANC commissioners. He has also assisted the city in developing numerous initiatives to combat violence, such as the VIP Violence Intervention Partnership, Saving Our Sisters, Rebuild the village Model in Washington, D.C. Man, this guy has been involved in so much in this city and made a positive impact. And we wanted to call you in, Mo, and just give an update because there's so much going on in our city. I wanted to make sure we talked to somebody who is on top of what's going on, has a hand on the pulse in the community. And again, good morning, Ron Moulton, to you from
Moulton Across Road.
And you want to give us a little synopsis of what you did at Ebenezer Baptist Church? Because I got not only the email from Sam Ford, the former newscaster at Channel 7, but a couple other people said, man, you ought to get Mo in there, because when he's talked about it, how he's talking about how we are our brother's keeper. And are we our brother's keeper? Go ahead, Mo. The mic is in your hands.
Yes. basically, I was speaking on John, chapter 4. I believe it was chapters like 7 through 16. And in there, it was talking about, like, you know, you can't say you love God and believe in God if you don't love your brother.
Yeah.
You know, your brother. And, you know, one of the things that stop us from loving our brothers and sisters is fear, right? The fear of what that looks like, the fear of telling our brothers and sisters when they're wrong, the fear of just loving. And in today's time, we found ourselves where a lot of people in the village have just backing away from being our brother's keeper. And sometimes I understand the fear of if you say something to a brother in the community, then the parent might say, don't talk to my child. If you, you know, a lot of us just sit back away, throwing our hands up. But a lot of us forget that we were filthy rags at one time, and there were people in our community who filled in the gaps where a father might have been missing or mother might have been missing. And those were the people who were our brothers and sisters keepers in our community. So I also was speaking on, you know, what fear looks like how we see colonizers coming out of our community and we're afraid to step up and say, listen, this stuff doesn't work for my people. What you're doing does not work. This is work. We've been doing it for centuries. We know what works for our people.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just get quiet. And because we got quiet in D.C. over the last 14 years, we let people come in with policies that were not good for our young people. And now we're reaping the benefits. We let a young person, J-Rock, was killed in Ballou Senior High School back in 2002. And what happened, right? All the programs, especially the one that connected young people with the police, the officer-friendly program, shall I say, that was in Ballou High School, that the police were running, right? Mm-hmm. We actually cut that program out, and that was like the last positive relationship the youth had with police in D.C. And they used to have to put the children out of Ballou Senior High School in 2002, up until 2002 at 8 p.m. because they didn't want to leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then that transcended into other schools cutting the after-school program. So we threw our children to the streets. Then we used to have the go-go's. And what reminded me of this when I went to Brazil recently on a trip for a conference there. And one of the biggest and best experiences was at a church. And it was thousands of people in the churchyard,
mm-hmm.
dancing, calling on the ancestors, partying, eating the food, the culture, and celebrating. And I said, damn, that reminds me of D.C. When we used to go to the Panorama Room, St. Luke's, St. Anthony's. You know, all these churches were an intricate part of our community. And it wasn't no bad stuff going on. It was the same thing our ancestors did in Africa. Call and response, celebrating each other, loving each other, joy, happiness, and respect for one another. We got rid of all the go-go, right? And let them take our culture away. All the festivals, the Georgia Avenue Festival, the UNA Festival, all these things got taken away. And when you take a person's culture and their joy away, and you take away positive platforms for the youth, and you take away programs that have a cultural conscience and a way to teach our people what we know, then mm-hmm. you get what you have today.
Mm. You know, you're one of the few people that I've ran across in this city who are speaking in regards to asking for more church involvement while rejecting more government involvement. Why do you say that? Why do you think the churches need to get more involved? Why should they?
All first of all, one of the things I understood when I was doing the work with Peaceaholics, and we used to tell our staff, this is not a job, it's a ministry. So yeah. If you're not spiritually inclined, you can't be crazy. See, in order to do this work, to walk up to a young guy with an AK-47, you got to be out your damn mind.
Yeah.
But when you got the spirit, out your mind, and you're not fearing that young person. And yeah. It goes back to what I was talking about in that chapter. You have to have so much love that's unconditional that it alleviates that fear that you would have going to a guy with an AK-47.
Yeah.
And that guy can feel your spirit.
Sure
he can feel your spirit.
Feel your fear.
And that's what's going to make him talk to you and put that gun down.
Yeah.
And that's the level, right, of understanding of the work that we had from working with civil rights leaders that worked with Martin Luther King, where we understood the power of the spirit because our ancestors have always used the spirit, but it's always been criminalized. It was criminalized. They called it voodoo. They called it this. They called it that. But the spirit is powerful, brother. And,
yeah.
and we embrace somebody else's form of Christianity instead of the form of Christianity that our ancestors followed. And the things that got us where we're going and gave us survival skills was eliminated because we got spooked out.
Yeah. You know, I see that all the time, Mo. I see walking down the street and I see a group of four or five brothers, young boys, stand on the corner, and a guy or a woman walk by, and they cross over to the other side of the street. They are afraid to engage or even communicate. At the top of the show, we played that 20-second bite of this lady saying that everybody's scared of everybody, but his kids ain't afraid of nobody. And you're talking about fear. How do we get on top of that, Mo? Because there's folks who want to get involved, but they don't know what to do or how to do. And when you're one of the few people that we ran across who are talking about the churches should get more involved, and they should. They everywhere in every neighborhood, every block, and they close in the evening, and the kids ain't got nowhere to go, and they stand out on the corner, and folks are ducking them, running, walking past them, and these are our kids. It's a big issue. So how do you get people to deal with this fear, Mo, that you're talking about?
Well, it's a thing called balance. So what we did was we let Vinny Chirardi and all these people come down in our community and tell us how to deal with our children. One of the things we got rid of was accountability. So you got young people, 5, 6, 7 carjackings, throw them on the street. So what we did was we set them up for failure because they started feeling invincible.
Yeah.
And instead of putting something in place to deal with what they've been through to make them do that, whether it's trauma or just the wannabe syndrome that a lot of them do, because a lot of these children committing crimes are not necessarily coming from bad households.
Yeah.
You get more attention right now. The coolest guy on the block is a guy with the biggest gun. It's not the smartest guy all the time. It's not the guy making the right decisions. It's not the guy on the honor roll, because we took away the positive platforms that allowed our children to get attention doing the right things. So until we make it cool again not to be a fool, our young people embrace that. But also, if I'm a young person, I know, like these young people, no matter what I do, there's no consequences, then you're going to have what you have. Now, I'm not saying lock youngers up. I'm saying there's a small percentage that need to sit down so we can save them and also save themselves.
Yeah.
But when they go inside, we have to make sure they have the services like I had when I got locked. I needed to sit down. A month after I got locked up, my brother got killed. One of my best friends got killed. I got my GED within 3 weeks. Went to college and came home, ceasefire, don't smoke, the rebels was in place. And that's all I needed, was a platform to do what's right. Platform to use my talents the right way. And that's what most of these young people need, and somebody who's going to hold me accountable. See, at ceasefire, when you came home and you tried to sell drugs in our neighborhood, we beat your ass.
Yeah.
You couldn't come to our neighborhood, and they went and got their guys with their guns, and we was like, okay, is that how you want to carry it? So I'm just saying, we went through that, right? Because we didn't have that fear.
Yeah.
We didn't have the fear, but we loved the youngest. We loved the old heads that came on. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I believe we had an army. It was an army of real dudes. Was no cowards. We loved our people, but we didn't fear nothing.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I'm glad you said that, man, because it's a thing of trying to get our people together. We've been using... guys that did 30, 40, 50 years. Mo, you know a lot of these guys have been gone a long time. And now these guys are in the street. They don't have a house, a place to stay. They come out of prison after 40, 50 years. And then one guy, they gave him $100. And he hadn't had money in 50 years, haven't seen money. So he took this $100 bill and rubbed it all on his face and on his neck. He was smelling it. He walked into the store and the clerk told him, "We don't accept cash." So he didn't know what to do. He didn't know about a debit card or a credit card. So we've been reaching out to some of these guys who can play a role, who don't have that fear, who can reach some of these kids. What role do you see these guys can play, or can they play a role in dealing with some of this violence and this foolishness in our city?
I think everybody can play a role. I think everybody has a role to play. My thing is, guys who come home from prison, you can't have one foot in and one foot out. Yeah. This work that's been institutionalized, it took decades of soldiers laying the foundation, fighting in court, doing all these different things. So when somebody comes home and they have one foot in, one foot out, then it jeopardized everything, because it's not going to be the same like when the crooked, they say, okay, it's just one bad cop here and there, but most of the cops are good. It's not going to be the same thing as that teacher that molested the child, where they say, okay, this is an isolated situation, most of the teachers are good. When it's a returned citizen, we all are criminalized for the act of a few people.
Yes.
So the first thing, when you come home, if you're not serious about this, don't get into it. You know what I'm saying? You cannot get into it.
Half-stepping. That's right.
But like I said, everybody plays a role. Everybody can help. We need everybody. Everybody has wisdom. This wisdom has stopped transcending down to our young people. So we got to do that.
Okay. Go. You want to go do our pitch?
I will. This is our quarterly fundraiser for WPFW.org, your station for jazz and justice. It's been 47 years of education for liberation. Crossroads needs to raise $600 during this hour, and we are counting on you. You can call 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739 to give you a donation, or you can use Cash App, $WPFWFM. That's $WPFWFM. And you can always come to the website, WPFWFM.org, to donate online. Become a sustaining member. Any amount you donate monthly with automatic withdrawal will ease your mind. You know your donation has been taken out. And to be a guest, to call in and share your thoughts with Ron Moten, the call-in number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. And this is where we share needed social and criminal justice reform that has not hurt anyone else, anywhere okay. else.
And thank you.
We have our first caller.
Okay. We got, that was my wife, Mertine. One of the things we talk about on this is that folks need to help us out to keep us on the air. We are listener-supported radio. We don't have commercials or sponsors, so we depend on you. And this is one of the few shows, if you don't notice, it's that one out of every three people in America has somebody in prison, a loved one, family, friend, relative, or whatever. One out of three. So prisons affect all of us. I don't care how you look at it. So we need you to make a donation and call in. And if you want to call in and ask a question of Ron Moten or us, the number to call in for the question is 202-588-0893. We'll take the first caller. Mo, we got somebody want to ask you a question. Come on.
This is Rick calling you long distance from Germany.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, Rick.
And
how you doing?
Hello, Miss Mertine. And good day to you, Brother Ron. Brother Ron Moten, I understood that Go-Go was coming back to D.C., and that the Go-Go events were being brought back. Am I mistaken about that?
Tell us about the Go-Go Museum, Ron. You got it? Yeah.
Was that Roach? I'm sorry.
Tell us about the Go-Go Museum. The gentleman on the phone.
I'm sorry. I had to click one of my installers. My smart tech guys was telling me something. So, yeah, we almost finished. We still money though. Is doing construction in DC is very expensive, and you always running into something that you didn't expect. But we're going to be doing a fundraiser on October the 3rd, and we're doing a ribbon cutting on November the 18th.
And what's the ribbon cutting for?
Go-Go Awareness Week.
And what's the ribbon cutting for?
It's for the museum. Soft opening for the museum.
So this is the opening for the Go-Go Museum.
Yeah, so we're doing a soft opening, and then early 2025 we'll be fully open. So from November the 18th until the end of the year, we'll be doing special events, and then early next year we'll be fully open.
Where are you located? Where would the Go-Go Museum be?
We 1920 Martin Luther King Avenue Southeast. We have a museum and cafe. The cafe will have street foods from the diasporas that we created when we came from Africa. So you have Brazilian food, street foods, Mexican street foods, Cuban street foods, African street foods, of course, and our mumble sauce and wings. We have a live recording studio. We're going to have our own kind of tiny desk here. We have LED screens on the inside, on the outside, and 16 interactive exhibits.
Wow.
Studio.
That's awesome.
You know, this is amazing. You're talking about the Go-Go Museum, and it came about with this guy named Chuck Brown, who was also a returning citizen in Lawton.
Yeah.
And you see returning citizens are playing a big, big part in every aspect of Washington, D.C. Mo was in the joint. Chuck Brown, Petey Green, a whole lot of other folks who are doing things in this city to make it better. And again, we need to, as what you said before, that we're all our brother's keeper, and the churches should get more involved. I've been hopping on this real heavy. There's so many buildings in this city that's sitting there vacant. We got, you know this, Mo, we had you on 2 years ago with the youngsters from Check It Enterprise.
Yeah.
And what they was going through down in Chinatown and how they was being harassed and that kind of stuff. And we brought them in, and you reached out to the gay community. A lot of folks don't bother them or what's with them. You're one of the few people that we've came across who deal with everybody. Don't give a damn what their background is or what their persuasion is. You're about doing your work.
Hey, look, people call me gay for helping gay. It was a wild experience, brother. But once again, the love.
Yep. Yeah.
I didn't care helping somebody who came from another community. In fact, it was hard getting gay people to help them because they didn't want to be associated with them. Because, you know, the violence and all that stuff that was attached to them. So most of the people that helped me were straight people like Blue Sky Construction.
Yeah.
I even had Republicans helping them because their thing was, if somebody wants to leave a gang and help themselves, I'm going to help, right? The Democrats came on heavy later on, but initially nobody wanted to help. So, you know, and that's why I tell people one of my things that I got from studying with Reverend Bevel, Amelia Bortons Robinson, Annalee Cooper, and people like that was you just work with good people. It don't matter who they are, what color they are, what's their sexual preference, whatever it is, you find good people and you work with them, and you'd be surprised what happens at the end. Because most of the time, the people who you help are not going to be the people that's going to be there to support you.
Yeah.
It's going to be people who you never could imagine, a lot of times that God sent your way, right, who have a love for humanity. Sometimes they're not going to be black. Sometimes they're going to be white. Sometimes they're going to be Christian. Sometimes they're going to be Muslim or Jewish. It don't matter, right? Just find good people and work with them.
There you go.
And you know what, Mo? What is interesting is when we were teenagers, go-go was it. That's all the clubs that we went to. Now we are the grandparents, and our children love to go-go with us. We all had to, when we hear go-go, everybody gets up. So not only is go-go, it's just our heritage, it's everything. What can we do to go back more visible to other people who have no idea, who didn't grow up in our area? I got calls on Chuck Brown's anniversary from cousins down in North Carolina. Who's Chuck Brown? What's go-go? I mean, it's spreading the world, and how do we make it our culture here the way it should be, way it was?
Well, let me tell you this. Since we did the Don't Mute DC movement, it's kind of rebirthed go-go, you know, from the people in the streets and the people fighting back. That's one of our first victories that we had. But one thing I would say that you should be proud about is go-go. It's one of the few forms of music in the world that has not been colonized. We still have control of go-go music. Hip-hop has been colonized. Therefore, it's still a blessing, but it's a curse in some ways.
What do you mean colonized? What do you mean?
That means when people who have no good intentions, people who don't come from within, take it over and take control of it.
Yeah.
Just like they took, you understand what I'm saying?
I got you.
Yeah.
So like what Kendrick Lamar was talking about. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When people who not like us come and take our stuff, and right, and don't have good intentions, like you support somebody like Sexy Red, right?
Yeah.
Versus a sister who spit some content that's going to hip hop books, right?
Yeah.
So when colonizers come in, they can be used by the devil, right? To use a tool that was used to uplift our people to destroy our people.
Mm-hmm.
And go-go, that hasn't happened with go-go. Go-go is, you know, we're different. We kind of like protected a little bit, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's still making it outside of DC now. Everybody's loving it. And one of the things we're gonna do with the museum when we get open, when acts and people come in town to perform, we're going to bring them in here and let them do live records with go-go bands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because in most people don't know, like, we got footage of Kanye West performing with a go-go band. Listen, we got a footage of Jadakiss performing with a go-go band. Dougie Fresh, Biz Markie, Scarface. I can go down a list. Look, Ice Cube. Go-go has been sampled over 500 times by hip-hop, and hip-hop has been sampled thousands of times by go-go. There's interconnectivity with go-go and hip-hop. We're brothers, we're sisters, right?
Yeah,
but we
have
not been colonized. Yeah. We have not been colonized.
It can't be. It's too real. It's too authentic. It's Washington,
it's the spirit of our ancestors.
Yes.
You know, this is the only music I know. We all from D.C. And this is our music that was originated and birthed right here in D.C. And it was birthed by a brother inside of the joint down at Lawton. Chuck Brown.
Who learned how to play in the prison.
We was down there, man, I'm telling you, it was so many guys came on the Lord. Not only Petey Green, he would reach the top of the ladder, but there were other guys who were in there who made a big contribution to society while inside. And here you are, we've both been in the joint, other folks, and you got people with criminal records, returning citizens, being involved in the community, in every aspect of the community to improve the station or the life of our people in the city. So the role that we play, I keep going back to this thing about the, what is Mute DC? It said, don't mute DC. What is that? What does that mean?
So it's a social entity, a social enterprise that comprises of activists who fight gentrification. So it wasn't just about us stopping from shutting down the music on 7th and Florida Avenue at the Metro PCS store. We fought to keep the hospital open when they was about to shut it down east of the river that served over 160,000 residents. We fought to make sure Banneker School was open. We fought for policy that empowered businesses to get startup money, where you have 4 or 5 of them in Anacostia right now about to open Black businesses, to open around the same time as the Go-Go Museum. We fought for so many different things and have won, right? Because all we did was use what our ancestors used, the power, the spirit, the music, right? Mm-hmm. That motivates us and gets rid of that fear. And that's one of the reasons why they try to destroy and impregnate our music with the same garbage they did with some of the hip hop we hear today.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what Don't Mute DC is. So we the music has become DC's official music since then. All these things came from people coming together and fighting and getting one victory that's led to many victories. So that's what Don't Mute DC is all about. So we do a lot of activations in the community. We've done stuff with the Kennedy Center. We've done stuff with the Smithsonian Folklife. We've done stuff all over the country. We're proud to get a victory and to still like mobilize people from that victory. Hmm.
Call and response, is that Go-Go?
Yes, it is. The same thing our ancestors used. Call and response.
Okay.
Yes, we got
another caller on. You're on the air. Question or comment, please.
Yes. I wanted to make a comment, and this might not be popular, what I'm going to say. I've been following Go-Go all my life, basically. I'm 59 years old. So Rare Essence was my band that I followed the most because most of the ladies followed Rare Essence when Lil Benny and Funk was on that stage. All the originals with Jungle Boogie and all of them. I have never, ever seen Go-Go play a part in positivity with lyrics. They never, ever, they had the full attention span of our community. But them brothers, I love Go-Go now, don't get it wrong, but like positive rap and negative rap, the brothers never used their platform to incite positivity, peace in the community. They didn't do it back then.
So, hey, brother, I want to ask you this question. What planet have you been on? Because
I mean, let me finish, brother. Let me finish.
I've been around Go-Go, and I know Big G helped me squash tons of beats.
But you're talking about later, brother.
I mean, I'm finished. I listen to you.
No, I wasn't
tons
finished.
Of beef. I can go back to Chuck Brown when they did the song No Bang No More. Rare Essence did the same thing. The Young Bounce Beast bands have done it. Chris from T.O.B. been doing it with me for years, right? So a lot of times we are quick to criticize our own when we don't have all the facts. So we buy into narratives that destroy our people, our music, our culture, and opportunities of our young people. And it's that mentality that you're talking about that criminalized Go-Go and almost eliminated it. That's not what I'm saying. So when you say
that's
stuff
not
like that,
that I wasn't finished. I was gonna meet you
to the survival of our music and our culture, and that mentality that you got is what took Go-Go out of school. Things have Go-Go still with friends.
No,
have something negative and still with friends like that. We just had it at prom. We had it in schools. youngest were going to, it kept so many people off the streets. I don't understand what you're talking about. If you talk to Bugs
brother, you didn't understand what I'm saying.
From being incarcerated. So I don't understand
But because you didn't let me make it. That's why you didn't understand it, because you didn't let me make it. You cut me off. So what I was trying to say, what I'm trying to say is, I know Funk personally. I know most, because I was a hustler. So the hustlers was idolized from the microphone. I was one of them. So I hear you, but I'm you went to Big G in them.
And Fat Randy was a hustler. Fat Randy was a hustler who was always about peace. He ended up getting killed
I'm talking about Michael Frey. I'm talking about Michael Frey.
Michael Frey was a hustler known to bring about peace in the community. Same thing.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just trying to make my point.
But see, brother, this is the problem.
We can't get a dialogue because you won't let me make my point. I mean,
give him a shot, Mo. Come on, finish what you're saying.
I'm just saying he won't let me make my point because.
Come on, man. You got it.
This is the problem. This is the problem. So. What I called to say, brother, that sister you played earlier was Dr. Julian Hare. And what we just saw with Trayon making bad decisions of influence, I would like for you, Brother Roach, to tell the story when you took the suitcase of money and brought it to Myron Berry, and he told you, take it back where you got it from, and if you ever do that again, disassociate yourself from me forever.
I don't know where you got that, buddy. If I had a suitcase of money, I would have took it to my house.
No, you said you was in Adams Morgan in a restaurant. You was given a suitcase of money as somebody, and you was trying to show the point that Myron Berry never stole no money. You was trying to prove the point that Myron Berry never stole no money.
Hey, brother, you got misinformation. You got misinformation and it's disinformation. I have never received a case of money, never gave Myron no money. We never even talked about money, Myron Barry and I. That's a misowner. Let's go to our next caller.
But that's what you have, provocatory agents who come in and do stuff like he did, try to discredit our music, try to discredit people who've done great things. We have too many. Those are the people who we should deal with. People like that. Yeah. But since he brought up Trayon, I'm gonna speak on that. You know, it's a sad day, and I'm gonna tell you why it's sad. I remember like it was yesterday, 2002. I was living in River Terrace. I came home in October 94, so I was home for like 8 years. All I was doing was working for free, ceasefire up organizations, Eastern River, in the community. A guy named Red came to my house when I was doing bad. I couldn't pay my rent I was like 3 or 4 months backed up with my rent. My children living with me, single dad, everything. Guess who come knocking on the door?
Who was that?
Reds. You know Reds used to be up at the tunnel and everything?
Yes. Reds
said 10 brothers up, including our brother who owned it, used to own MLK Deli back in the day. Used to hang out with Abundant Playground, all the old heads he set up. This guy tried to set me up. And he offered me 10 pounds of weed. And I remember what Anthony Nugent said when we were incarcerated. He said, Mo, me, him, and Black and Us was in D.C. jail together. He said, I'd rather be a bum on the street, right, than spend the rest of my life in jail. So every time I had to make a hard decision when I was going through some type of adversity in life, where a lot of brothers go back to doing what they were doing, I thought about that. So when this guy came to me, it was, I didn't consider weed a bad thing, but I knew it was wrong. And I didn't take the bait. And I'm saying it to say, a lot of times they send people our way to take us down. Mm-hmm. And we can't fall into the traps, because the reason why the mouse dies in the trap, because they get illusion that the cheese is free, but it's a price with that cheese.
Yeah.
Right? And we get caught in that trap. So I wish the brother well, and I know how I feel when you're going to something, somebody come your way with something. But we as leaders, we just got to fight through that temptation. We got to fight through it, because it's going to always come our way.
Yes, it will.
We don't get no benefits of the doubt. We don't get nothing. We cannot do this because it's consequences not just to us, but to our people that come with that.
That's right. This is WPFW, your station for jazz and justice, and we have another call. You're on the air.
Caller, you're on air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I have one message for the gentleman who called in, and I'm going to say use some disparaging remarks about Go-Go. Let's try not to air our dirty laundry in public. Go behind closed doors, agree to disagree, and when we come in public like this, present a united front. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for calling out. I'm glad you said that because, again, we got to be respectful of each other. And again, this misinformation, I've been accused of several things. Now, this is the first I heard I had a suitcase of money to give to Myron Barry. Myron said, if I had a suitcase of money, I wouldn't have took it to Myron Barry. I'd have kept the suitcase full of money, to be honest with you. But the bottom line is, folks who wasn't a part of the conversation wasn't there when it happened. And they got stories to tell you about what you did or didn't do and was nowhere near. So
Jiggy Boogie.
Check out your information before you come out. We call it, as my wife just said, that's Jiggy Boogie, Mo. And we ain't got time for no Jiggy Boogie. So, again, we got to treat each other with respect. We're talking about everybody got their opinion. So you can use your opinion, add your opinion, but please check your facts and make sure that you're correct. Mo, let's go back to this thing about Trayon White, the city councilman who was arrested for bribery last week. What's your take on this?
Rose, I'm sorry. What you say?
What's your take on this thing with Trayon Martin or Trayon White, who got arrested last week for bribery?
Well, like I said, you know, I just spoke on it. Like, I understand how these things happen, but we gotta fight back. You never know what a person's going through, right?
Yes.
You never know how things happen, but what I'm saying is, we gotta learn from his mistakes and make sure none of us do that. You know what
there
I'm saying?
There you go.
And we gotta wish them well, right? Like I told you, they came at me at the same way in 2002.
Yeah.
Same guy set up 10 people in our community. Mm-hmm. Some good guys too, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't condone if what they're saying is true. I don't condone it, right? But what I'm saying is we gotta learn from this brother's mistakes. Because the impact of these type of things have on our community are so devastating.
The latest one, we had Harriet Thomas Jr., city councilman, got arrested. Michael Brown, city councilman, got arrested for bribery taking money. It was another one. It was three of them, Kwame Brown, Michael Brown, and the other gentleman I just mentioned.
But Kwame Brown didn't take any money. They took him down for something that almost everybody do. When you try to get a loan, you might say something, you know. Yeah. So once again, you know, devil standards, you know, for certain mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
He should have never been put out of office. We had people in the council who done way worse and still in office. Yeah.
You know, one of the things we like to push on something like this is that we don't enjoy somebody else's fall. You don't make fun or laugh at somebody else's fall because you never know when the shoe will be on the other foot. You know, he's going through a rough time, and he's right. My man. I like him and respect him. But I was sorry to see him get caught up like that. And I went to a meeting last night over in Ward 8. And, man, the meeting was a joke. You know, folks come together to see what they can do, and they're fighting for the position, who's going to get nominated or recommended for to take his place, et cetera. Folks bringing their whole little thing, you know, their personal beefs up. The meeting deteriorated into a circus. I just came over last night to see what's being happened, what we could do as a community to prevent this from happening again. But, again, in closing, I would just want to say, never make fun of somebody who's fallen, because you never know when your day has come that you will fall. I might don't like what happened. I don't appreciate it, but he still is a good man in his spirit. So I hope he makes out okay. Do we have another caller on the line? We got Nikichi.
Yay. Hey, Nikichi.
Nikichi, are you with us?
Hey, yeah, greetings, y'all. I'm sorry. I just had to hop in for a moment to say hey to your guest. He's I follow him from afar, Ron Moten. He's the man, and, you know, and all like that. But I'm in another meeting right now, but I wanted to just pipe in and say hey to Crossroads, Roach and Mertine, and Ron Moten.
All right.
Hey, Mo, Give us another little background on, wait a minute, this is our summer spring drive. We got to do another pitch.
No, we finished with the drive.
No.
Go ahead. Here we are.
Oh. Well, ain't that
so we want to thank all the Crossroads folk who donated. But you can still donate, but the drive is over.
Well, even though the drive is over, people still can donate. Yeah. We need the money because last week we had some technical problems. We was off the air for a considerable time. And we don't know if it was deliberate or accidental or whatever. So there are folks that don't like the broadcast that we brought on the air to bring to you. So people, please, if you're listening to the show, for those folks who made a donation or contribution last week and week before last, please, we need your help to continue bringing these kind of stuff. And like we're talking about with Brother Ron Moten of Don't Mute DC. He is a gentleman who is all over the city doing everything, working out truce agreements, conflict resolutions, setting up a restaurant, the Go-Go Museum. Every time I turn around, I say, well, I'm like, do you got a twin brother, Mo?
My father.
My father, my son.
And that's your twin, your dad. You, boy, he can't deny you. You can, when you see him, you know that's your daddy. And your daddy is everywhere. So I see a father and a son all over this city giving back to the community. This is something that we need on a regular basis. Mo, you want to give us a little rundown on what Check It is? Because we've had them on a couple of years ago, Check It Enterprise. Clear up that for us, would you?
So Check It basically is a social enterprise that I started with former gang members. We own properties over here now on MLK Avenue. Actually, the museum is gone. And they also, some of those members are LGBTQ. So we help some of their friends and things out in time of need. And when we open up, some of the programming in here will be for them as well with our culinary arts program that we're going to have in hospitality as part of the museum when we open.
Besides the churches, who else do you feel need to be involved in this?
Churches, mosques, community, schools. Like, we gotta create positive platforms for our young people.
Too cold.
To help them, and we got to also hold them accountable. But holding accountable doesn't mean going to prison all the time. It just means corrective, you know, reinforcement in a positive way and in a loving way. I call it love and order. We got to have love,
yes,
and we have to have order. Simultaneously.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we got two more calls.
We're take our first next caller. You're on the air, please. Question or comment?
Yes, a quick comment, if I may. I just want to say this. Someone just talked about some people that have fallen. You just mentioned a few people who had some personal issues and whatnot. It does not mean that these people, these brothers or sisters that have a problem and they fall to entrapment or they fall because of something they right out do. They still deserve a second chance because a lot of these people, they have the right spirit. They have a desire to want to help people. And I like to lift up Marion Barry. Mayor Barry is, I have a great respect for Marion Barry. He had some issues. He was, got out of office. He came back because the people who he represented, they saw his genuine effort to want to help people. And that's the thing that we have to bear in mind. We have to lift people up when they're down and out and not
Thank
just
you.
Kick
Thank
them
you.
To the side.
Thank you. Yeah. Our next caller, please. You're on the air. Question or comment? Thanks for your comment, sir. You're on the air. Next caller.
Yeah. Hello, my brother from hello. George Jelly and Peter Green and Marion Barry and Chuck Brown made Chocolate City great again and again. However, I'm glad you sound like lady. You need to get this man's book named Robert Woodson. Okay? He's from Harlem. He talks about how from the late 50s all the way to the late 60s, after Martin Luther King got assassinated, he was with Martin Luther King. And the reason why he left the Democratic Party, he said, his book is called Red, White, and Black. It's because over the last 50 years, as he studied and observed the Democratic Party, they squandered $22 billion from black people. And let's talk about Jesse Jackson's son and all these so-called for the people. Yeah, right. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead. Thank you. All right. Mo, you want to, again, for our listening audience, Mo, you want to tell them what can they do to get involved and what can be done to help fight some of this foolishness that we're going through in this city, man?
How they can donate.
I just Everybody should roll their sleeves up, use their strength, find a place to get involved and do something. If you ain't a part of the solution, right, you're part of the problem. If your solution is coming on air and trying to talk down your brother, sister, especially about stuff you don't know nothing about, you're part of the problem, right? So we need people to do less talking and more doing. And that's what I try to do. Every day I wake up, what can I do to make our community a better place? I network with people who I know me and our people well, and I work with like-minded people to do things. I call them, I see what we can do, and it's really that simple. And I'm fearless in doing it.
How can someone donate to you or support what you're doing? What number? You
go to the website, www.gogomuseumcafe.com, and make a donation. And like I said, we'll be announcing the things that we're going to be having in the near future.
Give it to it again, Mo. Go ahead.
www.gogomuseumcafe.com.
And when will that be open?
We'll be doing a soft opening November the 18th, 2024.
What do you mean a soft opening?
Well, we won't be open every day, but we'll start doing special events, and then we'll be fully open early next year.
So how can the community, if people want to support you, what can they do?
Well, we're doing training for our volunteers, so they can send us an email on the website. They want to be a volunteer, so we're starting the training for our volunteers at the museum. So that's the first thing they can do, and they can make a donation.
You know, at the meeting last night for Trayvon White, the same thing happened at the meeting that just happened to us a little while ago, Mo. Folks will make statements and don't have all the information, and that information gets out there, and it's poisoning people's mind and turns folks away. And the meeting last night deteriorated into a circus with so many people who were saying this, were saying things that they didn't have all the information.
Hey, brother, when Malcolm killed, somebody yelled in the room on purpose, right?
Yeah.
I ain't got to say no more. Like, people are sent that way for a reason to do certain things.
Yeah.
What I tell people, you don't give people like that sunlight. They are your horse manure that helps your grass grow, okay? The only way it hurts your grass if you give your grass too much light with that negativity. So you don't pay them no attention. You let that horse manure fertilize your grass so your grass can grow, brother. There and with that, I'm out of here.
Thank you. Our guest has been Ron Moten from Don't Mute DC. We want to appreciate you coming on, Mo, and clearing up the air on some of this stuff. And you'll be coming back, man, because you're one of the few people, again, returning citizens, of making a positive and substantial contribution. Chuck Brown, you, Peter Green, all these guys that have been inside. It doesn't matter where you've been. It's what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. It's where you're going right now. And, brother, my hat's off to you. Thank you for joining us, Mo. And
pray for me. I pray for you, brother. Love you.
And Merry Christmas to you, Mo.
Yes, sir.
All right. And thank you. And
thank you.
We'll join you again next week, next Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and get here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality.
Sister,
talk to me,
sister,
so you can see,
sister,
oh, what's going on,
what's going on,
what's going on,
what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on.
This Labor Day, September 2nd, WPFW centers programming celebrating workers with The Grind, Work, Resistance, and Hip Hop. From 9 a.m. until 1 p.m., we'll hear from workers about conditions, organizing, and resistance, as well as present our annual survey of labor music. At 1 p.m., WPFW's Decipher Collective takes over until midnight, with hip-hop reflecting the highs, lows, and mid-ranges of the daily grind. That's The Grind, Work, Resistance, and Hip-Hop. This Labor Day, 9 a.m. until midnight, on WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Mumia Abu-Jamal reminds us that August is a month of repression, of radical resistance, of injustice and divine justice, of righteous rebellion, of individual and collective efforts to free the slaves and break the chains that bind us. On August 29th, from 1 until 7 p.m., through both public affairs and music, WPFW reflects on the origins of Black August and honors the lives and legacies of Jonathan and George Jackson and all Black freedom fighters as we recommit to the sovereignty and resilience of Black people around the world. That's Black August, Thursday, August 29th, 1 until 7 p.m. on WPFW, Building a Better World, one broadcast at a time.
Black August, not February, for every weary soul who had to bury those in the cemetery.
Dear beloved listening audience, thank you for your tremendous support. Despite the efforts of malicious individuals, your unwavering dedication has taken WPFW over gold. We are grateful for your support, which ensures that we can continue to thrive and to stand strong for another day. Your generosity is deeply appreciated. Thank you so much. If you missed the opportunity to pledge, you can always visit WPFWFM.org to make a donation. Together, we will build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
School is back. Do you need an after-school program for your young one? The Words, Beats, and Life Academy is enrolling for students from third grade up to young adults, with programming weekdays, 3:30 to 6 p.m., offering classes in hip-hop performing and visual arts, as well as business and arts leadership, with access to professional teaching artists, equipment, and resources. Located in Columbia Heights, Northwest Washington, D.C. at St. Stephen's Church. Classes are always free. Enrollment at wblinc.org/academy, based on availability. The fall session begins September 9th. We hope to see you or your young one there at the Words, Beats, and Life After School Academy.
All right, all right.
Remember, wblinc.org/academy.
Hey, it's that time again. Join WPFW as we move to get fit at the annual 5K run walk for total fitness. Dynamic fitness instructors will be there, free healthy snacks and water, exciting music, boat rides for families, and a double dutch contest and a hand dance contest are all included in the 5K fundraiser. This event takes place at the Bladensburg Waterfront Park, 4601 Annapolis Road in Bladensburg, Maryland, from 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday, September 14th. Now, for more details and how to register, visit our website, wpfw.org, or call 202-888-5484. That's 202-888-5484. Meet you at the park on Saturday, September 14th, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. WPFW, making a better world, one broadcast.